Blog Talk Radio.
In humble adoration, we bow before your throne. As we come before your presence, we honor you alone. So we lift up our voices as trumpets heralding you. You are the King of glory. So this is what we do in humble adoration. Father, we bow before your throne. As we come before your presence, we honor you alone. So we lift up our voices as trumpets heralding you. You are the King of glory. So this is what we do. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. Oh, we worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. We worship you today. Father, how we love you today. And we worship you just because of who you are. Oh, I wish I had somebody to help me sing in humble adoration.
In humble adoration, we bow before your throne.
Oh,
and we come before your presence.
Father, we honor you.
We honor you alone.
So we lift up
our voices
as trumpets.
Turning you,
you are
the King of glory.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. How's everyone doing? This is your brother Seth. This is the host, Five Smooth Stones, coming at you with another episode of Blog Talk Radio. Just want to be thankful for Blog Talk Radio for being around and all the other networks that allow us to come to you from the convenience of our homes, offices, parks, wherever we decide to broadcast. Just want to thank you for your time, for investing in us today, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit down and think about the things we're talking about and have talked about over the months, I guess with me anyway, haven't been on that long. But I just want to take this time to really thank a lot of people that have helped support this particular topic, this particular blog, where we talk about Bible leprosy and where we've been talking about various angles of leprosy, including the opposite, the extreme of what we call Bible leprosy, which is melanin. And it's a very odd, uncomfortable, but very much needed, very relevant. One of the most relevant subjects to mankind, especially in the United States. And you wonder sometimes, how does something so important, something that we think about, something that we really want to know about, how does it go untalked about for so long? This business, I'm talking about the business of this question of how do we become the different hues of people, the different skin colors, and what does it mean? If we all started out, as the Bible says, in the garden, what happened? What on earth happened that we changed, and why did we change? People are asking these questions. And with racism being so strong, especially in the United States, this whole philosophy of race based on color and one race being superior over the other race, more prevalent thought is white supremacy. You wonder, why isn't this subject thrown under the carpet, ignored? Why do people feel intimidated by it? Why do people feel embarrassed by it? Why do people run from it? But yet, they practice racism throughout the day, all day long. They practice the racism, but nobody wants to deal with the racism. Again, they practice it. They live by it. They treat people based upon it, but nobody wants to talk about it. So what Brother Seth try to do is I simply just try to shed some light on this with the scriptures. And the reason I go with the scriptures is because truly, folks, if we need any answers on this planet, if it's important enough to affect mankind and the operation of mankind, and especially if it's hundreds of years old, you can rest assured there's an answer in the Bible. We don't twist scriptures. We don't take scriptures out of context. And more importantly, folks, we do not preach hatred. We do not preach one human being better over another human. What Five Smooth Stones' objective is in even being on Blog Talk is to unite people, or let me just say in the proper order. First and foremost, to share information, share revelation of scriptures that will enhance your relationship with the Most High. That's truly our real goal, something that will tempt you, motivate you, encourage you to walk closer with the Most High. And even when I share these things, sometimes it motivates me, because sometimes when you're talking to people, as a rule, you almost come off as though you're better than they are. In a lot of situations, I'd say in all situations, to be honest with you, I'm talking to myself. I, too, to some degree am a hypocrite like I believe everybody is. What does that mean? That means we preach things that we're not perfected in our own lives. I'm going to say that again. We preach things that we have not perfected in our own lives. Somebody say, well, you shouldn't preach if you haven't perfected in your own life. What if that was the case? Most churches, I would say all churches, synagogues, mosques would be in existence, no existence. Wouldn't be a such thing. Because every single leader I've ever met have preached something that they haven't quite mastered yet. So today, this topic is no different. And again, what is the topic? The title of our show today is Bible Leprosy and Melanin. Race mixing. Is it biblical? Part 3. Today we're going to be talking about several things. I'll go ahead and read the show's description just to give you an idea of some of the things we're going to be talking about today. The description reads like this. If we simply forget about racism and bigotry and love each other as a colorblind society, there is just one problem. Because of the black gene being dominant, we will annihilate white skin from the planet. If the Most High made us all different colors for race distinction, why should we erase something he made? Is there such thing as a race based on color? There is a question. And I go on and say, and are we supposed to mix races if we are destroying the Father's plan for the different so-called races? We will continue to discuss Bible leprosy, but with racism. This is a very sensitive subject, but I promise it is not to in any way harm anyone. After Adam and Eve fell, mankind started having problems with their planet, environment, and even their bodies. Growth issues, being too short or too tall. Hair issues. Issues with their eyes, memory capacity. And yes, skin issues. Losing pigmentation, which is a type of Bible leprosy. The goal is to end the racial myth of superiority. You will learn that there is no such thing as a race based on color. No such thing as a white man or a black man. But nationalities or nationalities. Bring your Bibles and your genetic science mind. Click here to see a short video of albinism. And then I have a link taking me right to YouTube with a very important video. I hope everybody click on that. If you don't do nothing else, check that out. And then I'll end it with last, read Leviticus 13 and 13. If leprosy was sores, why is it you're clean when you're covered with it from head to toe? Doesn't make sense, does it? This info has been hidden from us. Let's unite and end racism. Folks, I'm telling you, this right here is one of those subjects that you probably couldn't play at your work because a lot of people wouldn't understand. But I guarantee you, if you have the guts to put it on, before it's over with, everybody will be listening around the radio. Because what we're talking about is so relevant. It's got to be one of the most relevant conversations that human beings can discuss. Brother Seth's goal is, like I said in the description, is to help end racism and this whole concept of race-based on color. So without further ado, let me go ahead and offer this broadcast up to the Most High. Get his blessings on it on this wonderful Shabbat, or Sabbath, or Saturday. And again, if I didn't already say it to everybody, Shabbat Shalom. I hope everybody is going to spend the day today observing the Shabbat and observing the Sabbath and keeping it a holy day. I know some people have to work. If you find yourself in that situation, remember the Most High have made it possible for us to still have the peace that comes with the Shabbat by living our lives according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So you might be in a stressful situation. Just because it's Shabbat and you're not working don't mean you're at peace. Some people have war in their soul, or turbulence in their soul, or they're just unsettled, and they're sitting there holding the Torah of scriptures, and they're observing the Shabbat, and they still don't have peace. So let's not get religious with where you stand or what you're holding. It's all about your spirit. Where do you stand with the Most High? How do you see Him? Do you reference Him in your life? Is He number one in your life? If He is not, there is no day of the week that's going to save you. There is no book you can hold, including the Bible, that's going to save you. There is nobody you can assemble yourself with that's going to save you if He is not on the throne in your heart. So I encourage you, listener, whoever you are, before we say anything about this subject, if you don't know the Most High, He's not number one in your life. If he don't sit on the heart of your throne, you, my friend, is going to live a very, very peaceless life, empty life, constantly asking, is there some better? Is there some better? Is there some better? So, anyway, again, we are Five Smooth Stones. We're located because some of you have the phone number and you're not really on the internet right now. You just listen to this with your phone because I may have gave this number to you or something like that. But just remember, we're blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. That's 5 Smooth Stones. blogtalkradio.com/5 Smooth Stones. Don't forget the underscores if you're going to get somebody else. I say this every week, but it's so, so important that you do this, and that is go to our front page, and you will have a list of all of the shows we have done. All of the shows we have done. Okay, upcoming shows. If you go to the front page, you get it all. Okay, you get the shows we have done. You get the shows that we have, it'll let you know when the next upcoming show is, et cetera, et cetera. So please try to do that and go to our front page. Right up under the picture, right up under the profile picture is a link to a library. That's a library of books I've created, books that have touched my life, books that have helped me, books that have inspired me over the years. Please check that out, folks. I mean, I can talk forever, but a lot of scholars can say it a little better. Some of them can because they, you know, just everybody have a different angle on how they teach this very same subject. So click on that library and go to it, and you can see the different approaches to this particular topic, okay? Not only books on this topic, but books on all the things we teach here, the five topics we call Five Smooth Stones. And while I'm able to go briefly, quickly over the schedule, and we'll jump right into this, on Saturday, as you see, we talk about the leprosy, and I think we'll probably do this for a while because white skin superiority is one of the strongest holds in America I know of, and we're never, ever, ever told anything about what exactly is black skin, what is melanin, where it comes from. And I've been doing some research. I've done it for a while now, but I've just kind of reminding myself of some of the things and research some new things and You know, we just haven't touched the surface with regards to melanin and what it means. It will blow your mind. You just simply would think folks would be making this stuff up. If you've heard all of the mighty, and it is truly mighty, powers of melanin, what the Most High put into that earth, that soil, and then to take that soil and make his man out of it, melanin is nothing more than what all of the properties inside of the soil is inside of melanin. And the melanin is what make us dark. Folks, I'm telling you, it is crazy. And I'm working on something where I'm gonna do a really big in-depth look at melanin. And I'm telling you, you're going to understand why we never hear nothing about it, and why we probably will never hear nothing about it unless brothers and sisters like myself step up and say, I'm going to just share this. I'm telling you, you will understand why the Most High said it is good. Again, this is not to make anyone feel uncomfortable or feel like, you know, anything other than just truth. Okay? So, anyway. So, son, Saturday. We're going to be talking about leprosy, which is nothing more than vitiligo and albinism. That's all it is. That's a type. One type of leprosy. There's about five different types. But one type of leprosy is nothing more than albinism and vitiligo. It's just that simple. But when you have the albino mixing with people with melanin, then you can bring out every single hair color over thousands of years, or hundreds of years even. You can bring out every color skin tone, and this is how we get the different shades of people. We go into this. We went into this over the weeks, months. So please check out the archives. Please listen to previous shows on anything we talk about, any of the five topics, because we go into things that I just simply will not mention today because I'm trying not to repeat. Some things I have to repeat every week, but some things I'm trying not to. So, anyway, on Saturday, this is what we're talking about, the origin of man, how we all came from one, what does it mean in terms of your, what it has to do with you and your walk with the Most High, how it ties into your very walk with the Most High, and how you see the Bible and how you see yourself as it relates to the Most High, okay? So it's very relevant to everything about you, all right? So that's on Saturday. On Sunday, every Sunday, we are committed to always teach the one subject, and that is, how do we know we're Israelites? As many of you have already heard over the weeks, months now, I've been constantly talking about how the people of Israel is not the people of the book. And we're going to scriptures proving that. We also want the scriptures to show you that Israel is in exile. And we bring out lots of scriptures showing that, and also showing you why it's important Bible prophecy and understanding the Bible and what intel, the end time events, how that relates to Israel. As you know, Israel is a type of time clock, and certain things will not happen in the so-called end-time events, unless Israel does this or that. So it's vital to know who Israel is and understand the Bible. Okay, also, it's vital to understand why so-called African-Americans have been enslaved, brought to a land, went through the things they went through, in understanding this revelation as well. Well, let me back up. In understanding this revelation, you can understand why so-called African-Americans were brought to America, served as slaves, and the whole slavery era. You can get a lot of information, a lot of wise answers as far as the plight of African American with this revelation, again, of who the true Jews are. We also, with this revelation, put to rest the whole notion of blaming white people, because with this revelation you'll see that the Most High is the one who enslaved Israel. He is the one that caused slavery. He is the one that said it would happen before there was even any white people in Europe. He said these things out of the scriptures a long time ago, thousands of years ago. He talked about how he would enslave the apple of his eye. He talked about how at one point they would not have men in their homes. The homes will be without men. that the men will leave and not take care of their children, that their women will be ravaged and taken by another nation. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. This is all in the scriptures talking about the plight of so-called African Americans in the Bible. It's there all day long. We talk about that, and there's hundreds and hundreds of scriptures showing the plight of so-called African Americans. I've said this, and I'll say it again. Anything that so-called African Americans do as a nation, or they repeat, anything they do as a nation, a trend, I'm talking about not one or two or three of them doing this or that, but as a nation, any major trends among these people is in the Bible. It's biblical. Everything about the African Americans is biblical. They're doing nothing more than fulfilling prophecy. But Israel in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and in all parts of the book of the Bible, really, Israel, the so-called African American culture is nothing more than Israelite culture. And we've been brainwashed into thinking it was this culture over in with the so-called Jews in Israel, but the so-called Jews in Israel have not went through any things in the Bible, any of the things, becoming a nation, the Holocaust, nothing that they have went through has it came about scripturally. Most times they say Israel will come from the north. Europe, he said Israel will come from all four corners. The Most High never said that Israel will be put in gas ovens. We're going to it on Sunday, proving who are the true people of the book. On Tuesdays, we talk about organizing with Israel, how the true Israelites are organizing, what the true Israelites can do more to organize. And we also interview, if possible, people from other nations who is these so-called Israelites, our brothers and sisters that have been scattered. It's not just African Americans that are Israelites. Most have scattered Israel to the four corners of the earth. Israel has been scattered into all nations. But we interview those Israelites when we get a chance. On Tuesday night, all we're talking about organizing and what we can do as a restored nation, how to come together, and these things we talk about on Tuesday, and that's at midnight. That's a late night show. And then another late night show, last thing we'll discuss before the schedule, is Thursday night. Thursday night is another midnight show. And here's where our most popular show is. We talk about One World Government, the New World Order, what's really going on, spiritual warfare, how it affects our everyday life. How spiritual world affects our everyday life. It is a must-hear, must-see. You got to check it out, okay? This is what happens on Thursday night, midnight. Again, our most popular show, because we talk about demons and angels and how they interact in our lives. We talk about this New World Order and what the powerful people of our world is doing and what they're trying to pull over our eyes and enslave us through debt, enslave us through lies like the so-called race based upon color. Just the Catholic Church is behind a lot of the enslavement of our people mentally. And talk about the Ethiopian question. I haven't got much into that, but I'm going to talk about Ethiopia and how it plays an amazing part in the world. You're going to be shocked to know how the little old country it really has a major part in the deliverance of really humanity with a lot of the truth that they have there. So, anyway, we get into deep mysteries, things that are very hard to believe because you just won't hear them on ABC, NBC, CNN, etc. So we get into that. I have a book actually with 600 pages talking about nothing but secret societies. Folks, it's real. It may be hard to comprehend that people will have secrets and the secret societies, but it's very real, very real, very in your face. And if you don't believe it, chances are you're probably already taken captive by them. It's just that simple because they feed on ignorance. And that don't mean you're ignorant like stupid, but ignorance means not having knowledge. So let's get into this leprosy, Bible leprosy, and melanin. Okay? And as we said, we believe that Bible leprosy is nothing more than race based on, vitiligo and albinism. I want to take a little different role. I'm just going to make some statements.
because we talk about some of this stuff every single week. If you listen to any of the episodes in the archives, you're going to cover a lot of the things that you're going to hear a lot of the things we cover every single week. Some things we talk about every single week. We just repeat it every single week. And while I think it's a good thing because you're always getting new people, I do think some people get bored with it because the first 30 minutes is devoted to this repetitious. But today I'm going to try to do something a little different. I'm going to try to stay out of the norm and just constantly go with new information, new thoughts, new things to think about, okay? First thing I'm going to say to you is this, and it's what we said last week, but it was a new topic. It was something new that I only said last week, and I'm saying it again this week, and that is, after you study leprosy, you look at the previous archives, any other episodes in the archives, then you'll understand why I make this statement. But folks, are you aware that if we never sinned, if our foreparents had never sinned, mankind had never sinned, Adam and Eve had never sinned, that there would be no tall, super tall people on the planet? Did you know that? I mean, tall to where it hurts. There is height, or there is someone being too tall. In other words, there are humans that they're fine as far as individuals, but I mean as far as their bodies. It can hurt the joints and cause all types of growth issues. There is a problem with being too tall. There's also a problem or discomfort with being too short. Okay, there's also obviously issues with having memory loss. There's issues with having hair loss. There's issues with not being able to produce children. All of these things are a result of sin. Also, listen, please hear me. There is also I tell you what, let's go ahead and lift up this Bible study in prayer, and we'll continue. I just am ready to get into it, and I let that slip. So let's go ahead and invite the Most High into what we're going to be discussing, because we're very serious. I don't know about y'all, but we're very serious, and I respect your time, and I wouldn't jump into something without his blessings. Not that we have to always stop and pray, but this is our time to pray together. I'm sure you've always, I'm sure you pray like most people do, not so do I, but this is the time to do it together. So, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another Sabbath, another Saturday. I want to thank you for your peace, your guidance, your word. We want to thank you for your commitment to your word, how you promised in the scripture that if we seek you with all our heart, that you will reward us. You said that if we pray in faith, believing, we shall receive. So, Father, since you said if we seek you, if we knock, it shall be open. We're just simply knocking today. We're just simply seeking your word, researching your word, seeking your heart, trying to see what is you saying. What are you saying in regard to this message of Leviticus 13? What was you saying in the Torah? And you spoke of in Leviticus 13. What exactly is albinism? How does it relate to, and why would this particular topic have its own chapters? Actually, two chapters in the scriptures. Why would you devote two chapters to this particular topic? Help us to understand these ancient truths and how it relates to us in 2011. Father, help us understand your word. Help us to understand your word. Help us to understand your heart. Help us to understand how we are to see each other. Let not racism and all of these schisms and divisions divide us as a human race, but help us to become one mind, one nation more. Help those that are righteous to come together, Father. Help us to come together. Separate us from the wicked. Help us to come together and help us to know your heart, your mind, your intentions, that we may become closer with you and with our brother. These things we ask in your son's name. Amen. Okay, folks. Okay. Just had to do that. Okay. Not being religious here. I just, like I said, I pray all the time. Not all the time, but I'm praying a lot. And I'm sure you are too. But the reason why I get to pray formally like that is it's time for us to do it together. Something about doing it together. So anyway, Back to what we were talking about, the whole thing with leprosy, albinoism. Okay, men begin to lose different abilities when they sin. They begin to lose the ability to do all the things I said, but also they lost the ability simply to produce pigmentation. They lost the ability to produce pigmentation. And that means that instead of them having been covered with brown, which is the Most High's choice of colors, in that he chose to make man of the dust of the earth, and we know that everything was to reproduce after itself according to Genesis. And we know that the dirt we see out there now is the dirt we that the Most High used. And somebody asked me one time, I think it was last week, they said, how do you know that the dirt that's out there right now was the dirt that the Most High used? A very easy question to answer. Listen to this. The Bible says, dust you are, and dust shall you return. Okay? Dust you are, and dust shall you return. So if somebody want to know what color did the Most High make man out of, it's very simple. In Genesis 3 and 19, it reads, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thy return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Now the word dust, D-U-S-T, somebody will say, well, again, how do you know this is the true dust that we look for outside? Well, he said he's going to return to it. We wasn't around in Adam's day, but we can definitely see how people look when they return. When they return, and you go dig them up years later, especially if you don't put them in a cast and all this stuff, just stick them in the ground, they'll look like that ground. We have to bury people very fast because they're turning dark. If they're brown, they're turning darker. If they're already dark, dark, they don't turn any color. They stay the same color. If they're white, they're turning dark. I think that's very, very dead faster. And I don't want to talk like white people versus us. We're the same people, folks. You're going to understand that in a little bit. But we return back to the dust that we was made from. So that should wreck all arguments of what, well, how do you know that the dust out there, and remember that the dust we see with our eye when we look at the ground, the richer dust, the richer dirt, is when you go a little bit deeper. That's the more fertile. That's what we call human, H-U-M-M-A-S. Human. It's all that is called human. And that is actually where we get the word, like I said, human. I didn't already say that. The Greek word, I mean the Hebrew word for dust is afar. Afar. Okay? Afar. That's actually, we can actually get never mind. But anyway, that's what the Hebrew word is. It's afar. A-F-A-R. All right? If you look at the Hebrew definition of that, it simply says, dust, dry earth. Dust, dry earth. That's the Hebrew definition of it. Okay? So, when you lose this, there's something wrong. Because this brownness, dirt, this earth has serious properties inside of it. Serious properties inside of it. And we're going to talk about that more in the future, about melanin. That's the extreme opposite of albino or vitiligo is melanin. That's the extreme opposite. So today we're going to focus on a little bit of melanin, but mainly we're going to talk about this so-called albinoism or albino. Before I begin, let me just start off by giving you some scriptures to turn to so that later on when we're not on the air, you can go on your own and find scriptural examples of people that had leprosy. And you can do your own research. Because remember, the scripture says, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and you need not that any man should teach you. Now, we can introduce stuff to you, but the final word is going to come from the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. You truly, truly don't need any man to teach you. So, here are some scriptures you can read on your own. These are the different people that had leprosy. First of all, write down Leviticus 13, because that's what I call the handbook on leprosy. Actually, it's Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. Okay, especially Leviticus 13. So write that down first, chapters 13 and 14. Then write down 2 Chronicles 26 and 21. 2 Chronicles 26 and 21 is by King Uzziah. King Uzziah, that's King Uzziah. He had leprosy, it's written in the forehead. Okay, then King Azariah, 2 Kings 15 and 5, 2 Kings 15 and 5. And then Naaman, Gehazi, very good chapter. We normally read that every single week. Don't know if we'll read this week. Well, we probably will, though, because it's so vital. It's a very clear story of what true leprosy is. And you'll see leprosy have absolutely nothing to do with sores, nothing to do with pus, nothing to do with blood. The leprosy is just simply white skin. It's just that simple. In Bible days, it was called leprosy. Today, we call it albinoism and vitiligo. But from albino and vitiligo, mixing with people with proper doses of melanin, or which should say more melanin, you can get all the different hair colors of the world. You can get all the different eye colors of the world. You can get all the different skin colors of the world by mixing albinoism. There is no other way to break down that skin color. Now, blacks, so-called blacks, we're going to talk about later how there's no such thing as a black person or a white person. I promise you, it is such a weak argument. We probably should never, ever refer to it again. No such thing. It's not in the Bible, and we really should be sticking to whatever is in the Bible. Is it in the Bible? Then we probably should kind of stay away from it. I know some people say, well, you know, there's a whole lot more knowledge than the Bible, and that is absolutely true. But what I'm saying, when you start trying to line up with what something that's really real in terms of just making up something like a race based upon color, we really should stick with the scriptures on that, because that's something that's been around forever. Obviously, there's an answer for it, okay? But let me just finish with these scriptures. I got a little sidetracked, and then I'll get back on that. Anyway, so 2 Kings 15 and 5 is an example. 7 Kings and 5 is an example of Gehazi. I write these scriptures down, and you can research this later. Simon the leper, Matthew 26 and 6. Simon the leper, Matthew 26 and 6, another example of somebody who had leprosy. And again, you can research these stories and see how the truth of Brother Seth is sharing, how it relates to these scriptures. You can judge me based upon these stories and see if it all lines up. Okay, Luke 17:11-19. Luke 17:11-19 is 10 lepers that was cleansed, not healed. Big difference. The lepers were not healed. They were cleansed. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. Okay? That's Matthew 8 and 2. Then we have Matthew 8 and 2. It is the leper near Capernaum. Read about him. And the most important scriptures probably of the day is going to be Exodus 4 and 6 and Numbers 12 and 10. And one more. Again, that was Exodus 4, 6, and Numbers 12 and 10. okay? Four lepers, at 2 Kings 7:3. Folks, you're going to read, you do the research and follow me. Just listen to Brother Seth. You know, again, you need not that anybody just because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the true Spirit inside of you, leading you and letting you know this is true and that is not true. Okay? Now, you've gotten the scriptures, told the scriptures. If you just do the research, you'll see what I'm about to tell you is true. There is no such thing as a white person. There is no such thing as a black person. This is a myth. This is something that people invent. Okay? It was shown up in invention. I would like to have the exact date, but I don't know the date, but I know one thing. It's not hundreds of years old, this concept of race based upon color. Okay? The Most High in the scriptures acknowledge nations. That's it. That's it. We acknowledge people based upon color. In every single nation, in every single ethnic, there are white people. Now, don't you listen to me. In China, there are white people. In every African nation, there is white people. I literally mean people born to Chinese that could pass as white. There's people born in black African cultures that could pass as white. There's people that's born in Australia. I'm talking about the Aborigines, the original people of Australia, not the whites that's there. The Aborigines, when they first got there, there were white people that come from them. There are white people that come from everybody. But from white people in Europe come no ethnic group. Let me repeat that. From every non-white person, every non-white nation. And when I say white, I mean what we think of when we think of white. Every non-white nation produces a child, blonde hair, blue eyes. They're called an albino. In every non-white nation, is produced a child that has what we call vitiligo. That's where no matter what hue or color they are, they lose their color slowly, vitiligo, like what Michael Jackson had. They start losing pigmentation. Sometimes it affects the hair, the color of the hair. But what are you saying, Brother Seth? I'm saying that every single non-white nation have the ability to produce white skin. But white skin people from Europe or any white skin people from anywhere, from any of the nations I mentioned, none of them can produce, I mean, when they marry another white skin person, can produce any people of color. Now, folks, don't go name some one person that Guinness Book of World Records. Then, you know, I'm talking about happening in the hundreds of thousands or millions of people. You can't show me that. So, what does this mean? What does it mean to you right now? This blog is to show you that everything originated with people of color. But we don't just stop there. We use scriptures to show you that and then to show you why is it people of white and why is it people of black. Some people I think just blow it off as black and white conversation. Oh, my friend, don't you trip like that. This is a thousand times more important than that. You're going to see that the Most High chose to make his man of the earth. First, he put all types of properties, all types of just energies inside of this earth, inside of dirt. And he made his man from this dirt. And that he said it was good. Looking at this brown earth man. Looking at the black hair, looking at the black people, But when we began to produce albinos, and those albinos would mix with everybody else, you can extract from black brown. You can extract from black redhead. You can extract from black blonde hair. Every color hair is inside of the color black. Every color pupil is inside of the eye pupil black. All colors come from the darkest hue. Folks, this is just science 101. Some of y'all are probably bored halfway falling asleep on me because you're saying, man, I've been knowing about this. Tell me something I don't know. But others don't know about this. They really come to them. This is science 101 for real. Okay? Now, so what does it have to do with your salvation? What does it have to do with your everyday life, your everyday routine? We live in a world, especially in America, where white supremacy has dominated everything. History is taught from a white perspective. Africa and all non-white nations is virtually ignoring American history. And unfortunately, the people of the world come to America for education, some of them. And even if they don't come here, what they're teaching in their universities is a lot of time white supremacy as well, because America is just that dominant. And the history of the world, the true world, is ignored, and Europe is treated as this new standard. And it is a lie from the pit of hell. And what it does is it enslaves all the other nations of the world. And it creates a gigantic self-hate. This is why you have such self-hate among African Americans, because if they feel like no true history represents them except the little things they get on in February, they feel like, for the most part, they're in the way of the real people that's doing real business. And the truth of the matter, the truth is the extreme opposite. This planet at one point was a people of nothing but people of hue, people of brown skin. We begin to sin. As we begin to sin, all these things I named earlier start happening to the body, being too tall, being too short, memory loss, not living forever as the Most High designed our bodies to do. Different things that are happening. Oh, and by the way, we begin to lose pigmentation. So when we became out, when we started having babies, albinos, and those albinos mixed with other people, from white hair is what a lot of albinos have, and gray hair, and blonde hair. When they mix with a person with black hair, they can pull out a brown. They can pull out a gray. When gray mixes with black, it produces one color, whereas when blonde mixes with black, it produces another color. So from these mutations can be pulled all colors of hair, all colors of skin, all colors from eyes. And I was reading some information I was going to share to get the time, that it even affects the brain. Melanin affects parts of the brain, your motor skills and different things like that. So we'll talk about that a little later on. But right now, I just want to nail this down so we can move on. We're like building stairs here. We're just taking one thing at a time. So we'll lay this foundation and we'll build upon this. Okay, so the first thing I said, again, that was that if we never sin, our forefathers would have never violated the scriptures, mankind would not be having albinos. If mankind would not be having albinos, then it would be impossible for mankind to produce white skin. It's just that simple. It would be impossible for mankind to produce redheads, because you only can get redheads from the mixing of albinos with people of melanin. Okay? When I say people of melanin, I'm talking about black hair people with black eyes with very dark skin. Okay? Once that person mixed with somebody of lighter hue, you can pull out all the other colors over time. So I'm saying, and I'm committing to you today, that if we had not sinned, there simply would not be tall people. There simply would not be super short people. There would not be people with memory loss. We would have lived forever. And this is not to say, you know, putting on these people as though they have a problem, because all of us carry some deficiency. But this is not something where I'm pointing at one particular people or saying y'all the problem or anything like that. This is just simply saying that all sin produce these kinds of results. Truth of the matter is, again, let me just make it very clear, that if we had not sinned, our forefathers had not sinned, many of the things that mankind goes through today where we would not go through. We already know that, though, some of this. We know that we were going to live forever. We know that there will be no decisions. But we don't look at things like hair loss, not being able to produce children, being too tall, being too short. We don't look at that. And we definitely don't look at the ability to not lose pigmentation. But losing pigmentation, my friend, is major, major, major. This is how people get skin cancer. This is how people get melanoma and all the different things. It's why a lot of our brothers and sisters that happen to not have much melanin, called white people, have to wear sunscreen. So this is major, 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 folks. I'm just shocked that more people don't talk about it. But there is information out there. Like I say, many of you will agree this is science 101. But people just don't take the subject up. Take it serious, get it to the scriptures, look at it more. But I'm telling you, and if you listen to the previous episodes where we deal with Leviticus 13, you'll see that, as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and go to Leviticus 13, because as much as I don't want to read it, because we read it every single week, you kind of have to. So let me do this. Let's go to Leviticus 13. And let's see here, I'm trying to do more than one thing at once here. Bear with me, folks. All right, Leviticus 13 is going to be, like I said, the handbook. As a matter of fact, let me first read to you what Leviticus 13 has to say. If you turn, actually, this would be in Leviticus 14. Got your Bibles out, and you should have your Bibles out, because, you know, I always say, have your Bibles out, because you're going to go. Listen to this verse. This will be an eye-opener for some of y'all. Check this out. Leviticus 14, verses 54 through 57. Now, we're going to read what the law of leprosy, what all it covers, and then we're going to read what it is. In other words, what we're about to read is going to tell you what Leviticus 13 is all about. Okay? Again, what we're about to read is telling you what Leviticus 13 and what Leviticus 14 is all about. Okay? Verse 54. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy, and scald, and for the leprosy of a garment, and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. And when it says clean and unclean, remember, clean and unclean has nothing to do with soap and water. Clean and unclean in Old Testament times means accepted and unaccepted. If you remember, when the Hebrews would look at a dead person, the scripture says that they would be unclean until the evening. Many things did it say, and you'll be unclean. You'll be unclean, or you'll be clean, or you'll be clean. It just means accepted or unaccepted. Having said that, let's read some key verses in Leviticus. But don't go away. I'm telling you, the clearer scriptures, it'll be clearer and clearer and clearer as we go. I think Leviticus is clear as it gets, but some people like a lot of the other scriptures I share outside of Leviticus. But I want to follow protocol and just read Leviticus 13. All right, listen to this, folks. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, kind of like a bump, a scale, a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. You'll understand later that they just mean albino with me. But right now, you don't know if I'm telling you the truth or not, so just stay with me. And it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on him. Watch this. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of his flesh. And when the hair in the plague, not disease, plague, is turned white, when the hair is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin. Folks, this ain't got nothing to do with something on top of the skin. Or you can take your fingernail across and it bump into something. This is under the skin. When the hair is in the plague is turned white, and the plague is in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy. The priest shall pronounce him, the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. So what does this just say? It just said the plague of leprosy. I mean, excuse me, the plague. It said there's a white hair. Okay, you're talking about, let's read it again. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin. So we're talking about a plague in the skin. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague is deep in the skin. So we're talking about a plague, an area under the skin where hair is white. Okay? Okay? So we're talking about a plague. First of all, you'll see this being a white spot, but it has a white hair. And we're going to read over and over and over and over again when we read the word white hair, it's associated with leprosy. You're not to continue to watch this person. They are considered lepers, and they cannot have anything to do with the holy things. Okay? It's just so simple. Okay? Now watch this. Watch this. Stay with me. And the priest shall look on, oh, wait a minute, I'm trying to see what exactly I'm going to read about what I don't want to read. I don't want to read the whole thing. Okay, let's just go ahead and just keep on reading. We're just stopping at around about verse 15. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of his flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Okay? If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be deeper than the skin, so some other bright spot deep in the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white. See, I told you earlier this was a bright spot. Then the priest shall shut him up that had the plague 7 days. So this is the same scenario, but he has this white spot and is deep in the skin, but the hair is not white. Watch this. Whatever color could it be? It talks about that. It's not white. It's going to be yellow. Watch this. Yellow. What is yellow today? Blonde. Stay with me, folks. I'm telling you. It's very interesting. Again, number 4. Leviticus 13, verse 4. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, inside be deeper than the skin, and the hair of the head be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up and have the plague 7 days. Verse 5. And the priest shall look on him that Look on heaven 7 days, and behold, if the plague in sight be at its stage. Remember, we're talking about this plague is a white area. We already talked about it, established in verse 4. So, verse 5 is saying, the priest shall look on him the 7 days, and behold, if the plague in sight be at its stage, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the 7 days, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, watch this. If the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Now, when it says wash his clothes, I know y'all are saying, oh, that sounds like it does. It is talking about soap and water clean, Seth. No. Stay with me. Trust me, you're going to see. Clean means, because there's going to be times they're going to be talking about clean. They ain't going to mention nothing about washing their clothes. Just trust me. Clean in this chapter and in the Old Testament, really, when you hear the word clean, it means accepted. Unclean means unaccepted. And it has absolutely nothing to do with clothes being washed. This is, it'll clarify as I keep reading. Okay? You'll see exactly what I'm saying. You'll say, oh, there it is. Okay. Okay, it's kind of like when to give you a quick example of New Testament where this happened. Remember when Christ went before, I think it was Herod, and he said, I found no fatherless man. It wasn't Herod. My campus for now. But anyway, it's the same scenario. He said, I find no fault in this man. He went and did what? Washed his hands. Same thing, okay? So stay with me. Watch this, folks. Y'all not going to believe how this is going to end. Okay, this has everything to do with 2011. Watch this. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after that he has been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. We're talking about white spot under the skin, where when you rub your hand across it or rub your fingernail across it, your fingernail don't hit anything. You know, when something is on top of the skin, what we're going to talk about in a second, we're going to talk about above the skin. Right now we're talking about something under skin, which means you look at your skin, you're talking about a bright spot, folks. Just that simple. Okay? A discoloration in the skin. Watch this. It was just saying that if it's spreading, then that's not good. It mentioned earlier that if it don't spread and it becomes somewhat dark, that right there, when I read those words, somewhat dark, set me free. I didn't have to read the rest of this. And I'm not saying if you have to read the rest of this, I'm smarter than you. I'm just saying when I read Leviticus 13 back in the day, when people were telling me the white skin was a part, was a type of leprosy, I thought they was racist. A guy told me that in Toronto, Canada, I thought he was racist and kind of distanced myself from him on the train once he made that comment. Then I heard again from a minister in Columbus, Ohio, and I asked him, why y'all keep saying, I keep hearing this, that white skin is a result of leprosy. Where y'all getting this from? What scripture? He said Leviticus 13. I went home and read it. When I read when it said that when the priest looks upon these different variations, these different spots and so forth, and when this spot, this white area becomes somewhat dark, as it mentioned in verse 6, I was done. I didn't need to read all this. Of course I read the rest of it because I was curious then. But the revelation came on like a light. When brown skin, or when it became somewhat dark, was a sign of it being healed, because all my life, black skin or dark skin has been associated with the curse. Never with the cleansing, never with something that was good. But to see that the Levitical priest was basically looking for this white spot to become dark, and then later on it's going to talk about yellow hair. When I saw yellow hair in the Bible, and I knew in my mind that was blonde hair, I was done. That did it for me. The folks, I'm telling you, I'm reading this now, but I'm going to share some scriptures. It's going to be a whole lot clearer in a little bit. Then we're going to talk about some other things that I haven't mentioned any of the previous weeks. So those of you that have heard this before, don't say, oh, you're saying the same thing, because I'm not. But I've got to cover these basics, this basic foundation, okay? So reading right along, verse 9. But when the plague of leprosy, remember this is up under the skin, well, but when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Then the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin. Now we're talking about a rising, kind of like a bump. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and y'all seen him. You've actually seen it, if you think about it. There was something about white hair and skin that was not good. Now, if somebody's old, that's a whole nother issue. But we're talking about white hair and the people that's not old. This is not talking about old people. This is talking about white hair and regular people that's young. Okay, now listen to this. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, verse 9, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it hath turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising. Quick raw flesh in the rising. What do you think that means? Whatever you think that means, I'm sure that's exactly what it's saying. Quick raw flesh is nothing more than reddish whiteness. When you have a rising or a bump, you see that little reddish white look. That's all it is. It's not rocket science, folks. Anything that this Bible talking about is going to affect our generation, our people. But watch where it's going to. Watch how it's going to end up. Again, quick raw flesh is something. It's how your inside of your body looks like, under your eyelids or inside of your mouth or even the palm of our hands, kind of. It's a mutation. It's not any color. It's a mutation. Like I said in the previous week, you can look outside and you're going to see green and brown. You see people that look the brown, you see people all day long that you can throw dust on them and you can't even see the dust on them, okay, because they are that color. But if you look for white skin, this, again, not disrespect to anybody. Remember, five smooth stones, this blog is about nothing but respect and love for all people. That's how we roll here. We ain't got time for no other stuff. We just simply searching the scriptures. It may hit y'all a little weird, some of my white brothers and sisters, but I'm not trying to go there with you. I'm just trying to share truth. Okay, stay with me, and y'all going to see a major revelation in the end of it. Watch this. But like I said, you look outside, there is no color of white. There is no color that's the color of white people. Because white people are a mutation. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, every single nation non-white produce white people. There's Chinese that can pass for white. Congo got people that can pass for white. South Africa got people that can pass for white. I'm talking to white people there. Any non-white nation has white people. But every single white nation cannot produce one person of color of any of the nations that are non-white. Let me say it again. Every single nation on the planet, non-white, produces white people by way of albinism. Chinese have babies that come out blonde hair, blue eyes. Trust me. Click on the video that's inside of the show description after we're done, and write it down. Click on the description of this show, this blog, and click on that hyperlink to the video. And it's going to take you to a very important video that's going to really show you pictures explaining what I'm saying. Every nation has albinos, blonde hair, blue-eyed people that could pass for white. But every white nation, any white nation, none of them can produce non-white people in any of those other nations. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that white people as a nation is mutation. They're mutants. It's not a bad thing. It's just our brothers and sisters, we are them, they are us. So we can say it like this. We, as humans, some of us, are just our skin, not our spirit. Our spirit is the same. talking about the skin. And why people shouldn't feel bad and embarrassed and things, because there are people that are black, charcoal black, and they have bald hair. They're suffering the same thing in the hair, in the air of the hair department. Or they may be going at 8 foot, 7 foot. Okay? This is the result of sin. And how do you know it? Because they have issues with that. There's issues with being too tall. There's issues with being too short. You don't have problems with your joints when you're 5'11". You don't have a problem with it. When you're extremely tall, extremely short, and I'm not trying to say 5'11 is the perfect height, I'm just saying, there is just, when we don't come out like Adam and Eve did, it has something to do with sin. The body takes on different forms. We begin to start losing memory. And like I said, the first thing that happened, we lost the ability to live forever. That was one of the first major things that happened to the body. When we lose hair, we lose, like the previous things. But let's keep reading. I don't want to get sidetracked here. Okay? Because I'm about to drop a bomb on y'all. Trust me. About to drop a bomb on you. But verse 10 says, and we shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it hath turned the hair white, and there'll be quick raw flesh in the rising. Quick raw flesh means it's reddish whiteness. I talked about it. Says it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. Unclean means unacceptable. Watch this. Watch this, folks. I'm about to throw a curveball at y'all, okay? Now, it says, verse 12, the most important scripture is probably in the whole Leviticus 13. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, break out, what does that mean? The leprosy, remember, it's under the skin and it's white. We already read this. We already established that it's under the skin. When you run your fingernail across the skin, you won't feel this. This is under the skin. So it's a discoloration. It's a white spot. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, the leprosy cover all of the skin. So it broke out and it's covered all the skin. So we got some moving going on. Watch this. Vitiligo. The leprosy cover all skin of him that had the plague, from his head even unto his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean or acceptable that had the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. Now, if leprosy were sores, pus, blood, why would it be that when you're covered from head to toe, you're clean? That don't make no sense. So if you got one sore, you're not clean. But if you got 9,000 sores all over your body, now you're clean. So that kills right there. If nothing else you get out of this Bible study, you see that it is impossible the leprosy could be something like pus, blood, fingers twisted all up, as what Google and Yahoo will show you right now if you type in the word leprosy and did an image search. An image search on that word. That has absolutely nothing to do with leprosy. But I say the best for last. It's going to get even clearer here in a second. Watch this, my people. Please, check this out. For verse 14, and when raw flesh appeareth in him, he say, but when raw flesh appeareth in him, and read verse 13 again. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. If it's all turned white, he is clean. Wow. But when raw flesh appears in him, he shall be unclean. So what does that mean? When raw flesh is just simply the reddish whiteness, like I say, it looks like if I cut you open, there was no blood, you know, inside, and just looking at just the just your flesh. It's reddish white. All of us inside is reddish white. Look like cells. Look like the palm of your hand, kind of, or inside of your mouth, or inside of your eyelids. That's the reddish white look. That's all it is. How do I know? Because it just mentioned earlier about rising, which is nothing more than like a bump. It talked about when you get this little bump on your skin and you have this reddish white look. And you know you have a scab or sores and it had a reddish white look. You know, when it heals up, it's like a little white area. Folks, that's all we're talking about. Leprosy is not rising. Leprosy is not scab. Leprosy is not. It's the white skin that comes from that. And that is only one way you get that white skin. You're going to find out, and we're going to read here in a little bit, where you're going to see some people just born with white skin. That is albinism. Here in Leviticus 12 and Leviticus 13, somebody has a plague of white spots. You don't mention nothing about no sores. You don't mention nothing about no scabs. They just have a white spot that's spreading over their body. Folks, in today's terminology, that's the vitiligo. So there you just saw with your own eyes. Ezra, what is it? What is it that'll make a white spot under the skin spread all over your body and you eventually turn all white? What else is it? You tell me. Sometimes the truth is often stranger than fiction. Okay? But let's go ahead and read all the way down to 20. We'll just read the 22, and then I want to share something with y'all that's going to be profound. I'm telling you, there's clearer scriptures I'm saving to the end. So, that was verse 14. Verse 15, I read fast here. And the priest shall see the raw flesh. Remember, it means reddish white. And we'll talk about this a little later on, because it's going to describe reddish white again. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest. That means don't light him off. That raw flesh is taking on white color. That's a good thing. Because it's broken up. It's discoloration as long as it's reddish white. Y'all, some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you've had rising scabs, and they went away, and you've seen that reddish-white look. It has to become somewhat dark, according to part of verse 6. When the spot becomes somewhat dark, you're okay. As long as it's not a white hair, you're okay. If it's a yellow hair, a blonde hair, you're still in the woods, you got to get. This is under Old Testament law. This has nothing to do with the rest of the world, how they deal with people that became vitiligo or albinism. That's very important to know. This is Israel's way of treating these people. The Most High knew why they was white, because priests and prophets would curse people white back in the day. I know that sounds crazy to us right now, but it's Bible, folks. It's all throughout the Bible. And we're going to see somebody actually get cursed like that in 2 Kings 5, last verse. But don't jump. I know you probably excited want to go there, but just don't jump yet. So I'm saying priests was cursing people this color. All right, so let's go ahead and finish up. I keep wanting to jump off it. So let's all, and what I want to say about raw flesh turning again, there is medicine today. Well, white people that have this reddish white look, this raw flesh, can take medicine, and it helps change the skin one tone, where it's all white. So that's all Christ was doing. Someone said, what was Christ doing then? When I first raised up, he said, what are you saying, Father? Were you saying that your son was going around turning everybody black? No, that wasn't what had to happen. Lepers could be accepted or cleansed by simply that raw flesh turning back to white like the rest of the part of their body, like it said in Leviticus 13 and 13. We're talking about if you're all white, you're okay. But if you're turning white, you're not okay until you're all white. If raw flesh appears, that little reddish white patch, it's got to turn all white. Why was this important to the Most High? He wanted your flesh to be covered. That reddish white means a breaking. It's not covered. You got to be covered all one tone. This was a blemish to the Most High. Just like you'll read a little, further, they're going to bring a balding of the head. Why do they bring a bald head? Because bald heads were associated with the same kind of curse, the plague. I'm sorry, it's just true. I'm losing air myself. That is the result of sin. And in the Levitical laws, there was limitations put because what happened is the Most High knew that these people that was carrying these traits, their children, had did something wrong and either was cursed by prophets and priests, or it could have just been a result of mankind sitting upon the earth and it's like certainly to get cancer today. Well, probably in Leviticus time, you probably could have been a priest because the cancer is a result of sin, but did that person necessarily do it? No. No. Could be sin in the atmosphere, sin in our society, sin with all these microwaves and all these Wi-Fi this and all this radiation. This person has gotten sin, so it's a result of sin. So you probably say, well, it's unfair that the Most High would say that they can't do this. Well, the Most High has his reasons as to why he do what he do. But I'm telling you, folks, this is a law. We can look at the why later. Okay, so let's go ahead and finish up here because I want to share the more clear scriptures where you would say, why didn't you show that to me first? That's clear, clear, clear. Okay. All right, we'll read verse 15 again and then finish up all the way down to 23. Or if raw flesh turn again, remember, can turn again and change into white, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned to white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that had the plague. He is clean. It's all turned white. Okay? The flesh, here's another one, verse 18. The flesh also in which, even in the skin thereof, was a boil, and it's healed. Uh-oh, this is going to be a good one. And in place of the boil there be white rising, or bright spots, white and somewhat reddish. I know y'all know what I'm talking about right there. I know a lot of y'all, it clicked when I said boil, because when you've had boils, you know when to leave that reddish-white look. Let's read again. Telling you stuff is not ancient. It's not rocket science. And in place of the boil, there'll be a white rising, like a bump, or a bright spot. White and somewhat reddish. And it be showed to the priest. And if when the priest see it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin. Again, this is under the skin. And their hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy, broken out of the boil. Remember, we say words like scale, rising, boil. That's not the leprosy. The leprosy is the white skin that comes out of this. Remember that. If you don't get nothing else from what I'm saying. Because preachers today preach that the boil, the scab, and all that is leprosy. No, no, no. You just read where it says when you have a boil and it leaves and it has this white spot, now they're examining the white spot. Because sometimes there's white spots and there's nothing to do with boils around, no scab around, no rising around. It's just a simple white. So the white skin is what is considered leprosy. I want y'all to see that, because if you don't see that, I've not done my job in terms of having a Bible study that's understandable. Okay? Please understand. White skin. This is what is the leprosy. Okay? All right. Moving right along. My. It always does something when I read that. Verse 20. And if when the priest see it, and behold, in sight it be lower than the skin, the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Yeah, I read that. Verse 21. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs thereof, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, here goes somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. I'm telling you, you want to be dark. I'm serious.
And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. And what happened is, when it became somewhat dark, that's what the priest wanted to lock him up. Because, again, in verse 6, when your white spot becomes somewhat dark, it's a good thing. But then there was other things that caused this person to disqualify. Let's read it again. But the priest shall look on it, and behold, there... let me just back up. I'm reading too fast. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. You shut him up because it's somewhat dark, and dark is a good sign. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, it spread, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. It's because it's spreading. Okay? It's gotten somewhat dark, but it's spreading. That's not a good thing. Okay? Watch this. Verse 23. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. It's a boil. So I can read more and more and more and more and more about leprosy, but I can't cover all of this in one. So I try to read a little bit here, a little bit there each week. But let me flip over now and show y'all clearly what it is. That was a little bit of the law, a teeny bit of the law. And watch this. Let's look at Exodus 4 and 6. Exodus 4 and 6. Now, this is Moses. Many of you have heard of this, and I know we read it every single week, but I got to read it because it's vital. Watch the language the Most High uses, the scripture uses here, where it relates to leprosy. Just listen to the language. And the Lord said unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he, Moses, put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous. As some of y'all have your Bibles and I can tease you because you don't know what the next word is. Whatever Moses' hand is like, it's going to follow the word as. And his hand was leprous as, well, if it's full of sores and pus and scab and all this, if that was leprosy, it should say leprous as scab, or leprous as sores, or leprous as pus, or leprous' fingers bent and falling off. But it says, and his end was leprous as snow. I'm telling you, folks, leprosy means nothing more than white skin. It's all it is. And like I said earlier, white skin mixed with dark skin is what produced all of the hues on our planet. You take an albino and mix them with a person with a melanin, that black hair from the melanin can be broken down into all the different colors. That white hair can mix with the black hair can get a gray. The gray mixed with black can get another color. Whatever that color is, you mix that with black and get another color. You can get all the spectrum of colors by mixing the albino with a person of melanin. But if a person of melanin with black eyes, black hair, black skin, constantly mixed among themselves. In other words, had we not sinned in the garden, there would be no white people on the planet. There would be no tall people on the planet if we had not sinned. If sin never entered the picture, there would be no tall people. There would be no short people. There would be no sickness. There would be no death. There would be no white people. I mean, folks, think about what I'm saying here. If what we're reading is true, then it's true. I love all people. Find a need for all people. Have no problem with anybody. I am not on no racist tip. Please understand what I'm saying. Brother Seth is so far beyond that. The Bible says anything that's not done out of love is a sin. And I'm not about to go there and be in trouble with the Most High. I'm looking at the Bible. I'm reading it. I'm looking at things. If white sin is associated with the church, we're about to read some history. Go there, everybody, go in your Bible too. Well, you're really about to see something now. Go in your Bibles to Numbers 12 and 10. Numbers 12 and 10.
You're really about to see something. Numbers 12 and 10. Okay? Here we're showing scriptures. And the last one, I'm keeping saving the very best for last. The way I'm doing the Bible study today, I'm looking at scriptures that says the truth, but it's a little fuzzy if you've been told a lie for all your life. Some of y'all gonna see the truth with the first thing I showed you in Leviticus 13. You already see it. Some people, you need more. So the more it goes clear and clear and clear in this Bible study today. I designed it that way. The clearer scripture is going to be towards the end as to what white skin is, how it came about. But you're going to see at the end of this study that truly white skin was not the Most High's first choice. It came from a mutation. There is nothing on our planet the color of white people. There is no color that you look outside your window and look at nature. It is green and brown. Don't look at no buildings, cement, all that man-made stuff. Look at nature. Look at animals. Look at insects. Look at people. Look at anything alive. It is the color of the soil. He made man out of the dust of the earth. It's just that simple. Later on, we're going to talk about different parts. I thought we were going to get into today. Maybe next week. We're going to talk about different types of melanin that's going to blow you away. I've done some research, reminding myself of some of some old stuff. We're going to talk about EU melanin, EUMELANIN, EU melanin. Or we're going to talk about PHEO melanin. Just way to pronounce that. That's how you get red hair. We're going to talk about new melanin. N-E-U, and then melanin. This is melanin in the brain. This is where it talks about how this melanin, when you lack it, it causes the thing will make people forget when they get old. But anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. But this part of the brain has melanin, and this is where you get your addictions from. This is why they say blacks were more addicted to drugs. Now, the first thing they think it was racist, but it's not. It's not. There's a lot of black scientists who want to put this out there. And, it's white saying the same thing, but blacks is really talking about it because, I guess, you know, they have family that's like that. But melanin in the brain is strong. It's a dark part of the brain that operates your motor skills, and this is what makes us different. Hope there is a such thing as us being different. But we're still the same people, humans. We're still the same part of the human family. But there are physical differences in our makeup. It is true. I even hate to say it, but it's the truth. Some of y'all know I hate to say it because I'm all about unity. But there is the truth about you, melanin. It's just right now, but not right now, of course. When you get a chance, look it up. N-E-U-M-E-L-A-N-I-N, the part of the brain. And it's serious, and it just goes into it. But I thought I was going to get into it today, but I'm not going to touch it. So let's look at Numbers 12, and then we'll wrap this up with one last scripture that I think is going to make it even clearer, and that'll bring this home, okay? It's, folks, just remember, like I said, that everything came from the dust of the earth. And, you know, plants, there's something called leucism, L-E-U-C-I-S-M, leucism. This is albinism in plants. So when that sin happened, and I don't think prophets cursed the plants that way. Like I said, there's sin in the atmosphere, there's sin. That's why the animals act different. Even the Bible says that because Adam failed, that the ground would be stubborn. Everything that lives has this stubbornness to it, and even plants produce this white plant after a while. Every plant on the planet eventually is going to produce an all-white plant. It's not going to live long. It's going to die because it's a mutant. This mutation is major. There's albinism, all types of animals. Anything that's living producing albino. I even see the albino roach. You stop to call nobody a roach. I'm just saying everything. Remember, this is black people that's producing these albinos. So I can't be racist here. And furthermore, people ask this question. Brother says, I know what you're saying to make a whole lot of sense, but I got a question. If black people are albinos, how come they can produce albinos? First and foremost, I hope y'all not hearing me say that white people are albinos. White people get their white skin from albinos, but they have mixed so much with melanin, their hair is no longer white. Their hair is brown. A lot of white hair is black. That's, you can't get, the only way you can get black hair as an albino is, just think of a scale. One end of the scale is albino, blonde hair or white hair, okay? Gray eyes, I mean, they can't look at the sun, I mean, they're white. Then on the further end of the scale, think about somebody with black hair, black eyes, which is rare, black skin. I'm talking about dark, like the color of earth. And you know, somebody said to me, you keep saying that God made man under the dust of the earth. God made man under the dust of the earth. But how do you know if that same dust is the same dust? I said this earlier in the show. Some of you came on later, so I'm going to share with you what I said earlier. But remember, we wasn't with Adam when he was made, so we don't know what color dust it was. But remember, the Most High said, and I read this earlier in the scriptures, just check out the archives and look to the show again. At the beginning of the show, I read that Most High told Adam, dust thou art, dust shall you return. We get to see people after they die. We get to see that today. We get to see anything after it dies. Anything living after it dies, all life turns to one color. Just go back after about a year, two or three after it's dead and tell me what color it is. I dropped the orange in the garage and I didn't just lazy and get to it. Had oranges inside of a bag, and as it began to turn. I guess it's been like a 2-month period. I literally left it there after a while. I want to see just because I'm like that. I'm quite weird like that. That orange turned dark brown. Everything returned back to this dark brown. That was the color of Adam. It says, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. So we couldn't see how it started. We darn sure can see the color that it returned. I rest my case, Your Honor. I know I nailed that one, okay? All right, folks. So, Numbers 12. Let's go ahead and look at verse number 10. This is going to blow you away. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous. Miriam became leprous. White as snow. Second time in Scripture uses white as snow. Leprous. White as snow. I'm telling you, leprosy just means white. Why would the same verbiage be used? But Aaron, the brother of Miriam, is about to describe her. Watch this. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, that's his brother, Miriam is his sister, these all sisters and brothers, all three of them. He said to Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, let not the sin, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. He's about to describe, listen to the words, verse 12. Let her not be as one dead, of whom flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. One more time. Let her not be as one dead, of whom flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. He is talking about a stillborn baby coming out of his mother's womb. He says the flesh is half consumed. You and I both know because of baby stillborn, they flesh ain't ate up like some disease and ate them up. That's not what this man is saying. Stillborn babies aren't born like that. No babies are born half consumed, half ate up, come all out of leg, chopped off, ate off, consumed up. That's not half consumed, just means half colored. You can't use today's terminology and look at the Bible and make it be that. We get in trouble with it all the time. It can't mean what you're thinking if you're thinking consume means consume. It just means half color. One more time. Let her not be as one dead of whom flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. I was preaching this. I say this every single week. I'm going to say it again this week. I was preaching this in Columbus, Ohio. A nurse stood up, raised her hand, stood up, interrupted me, and said, oh, my goodness. She was shocked. She was amazed. She says, oh, my goodness, I deliver baby. You're absolutely right. She says, all stillborn babies have no pigmentation. What is that color? How does that look? Folks, you ain't got to believe me. This is one thing easy to prove. Go to Google, go to Yahoo, type, click on images, not web, images, and do an image search on stillborn babies. I hope you're not eating when you do this, because it's very sickening to look at. But you'll see a bunch of dead babies. I know everybody can't do it, but I do because I have to teach this. I feel like I've been called to teach this kind of thing. So I went there, and I looked at those images. Every one of those babies got one thing in common. They have no pigmentation. That reddish whiteness is what we've been talking about all day. That reddish white you see that the stillborn baby is the same color of your hand, the palms of your hand, same color inside of your mouth, same color under your eyelid. That's the reddish whiteness I've been trying to get you to understand. That is the color of stillborn babies whose flesh is half colored, half filled in, or as Aaron said, half consumed. 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5 is going to tie in 2011 to this ancient, ancient plague. Remember, it's not a disease. You don't die from leprosy. It's not contagious. She's just white. Again, it's not a disease. It's not contagious. She's just white. Okay? Real quick, I'll tell you the story. Then I'm going to read you the last verse. The time's thick. I'm not going to read the whole story. There was a man that was called Naaman. He was a mighty man. That's another issue to prove that he was white, because if he was leprous, as some of y'all think leprosy is, fingers falling all off, pus, blood, guts, all this stuff, then how could he be a mighty man of valor and be so powerful in this army? It's unheard of, okay? Not true. He had a servant. His servant was an Israelite. His servant was talking about his whiteness and said, ooh, I wish you knew about this man, the prophet in Israel. And she was an Israelite. You know, Israelites know about all these prophets and they can do all these wonders. She said, ooh, I wish you knew about this Israelite, this prophet, because he could turn you back to your, he could make you clean. He could heal you of your leprosy or cleanse you. We can't ever say the word heal when we talk about leprosy, and I always put it up. It's cleanse. Christ cleansed the leprosy. Research it. Go check me out. And write me back if you find me wrong. If he never healed no lepers, he cleansed them. These were people that were dark-skinned and had a white spot with their white hair, or they had, they were all turned white, remember Leviticus 13:13, and they had this reddish whiteness somewhere on their body, and the priest had declared them unclean. We're talking about unclean folks. That was the one that was needing to be cleansed. It wasn't bad to be a leper as long as you was cleansed. You can go and mingle, do be around people and everybody else, but you were white. That's all that means. What Christ was doing was turning this reddish whiteness to white. That's it. That's all it needed. And today, you know, it's very well comprehensible. They got medicine to turn that same reddish white we're talking about to white. That's all that was needed. Christ would tell them, go show yourself to the priest. And then when they go show themselves to the priest will see, oh, you don't have the reddish whiteness anymore. Okay, you're cleansed. And they can go mingle. That's all he was doing. It's simple, folks. We make this stuff real complicated. Anyway, Naaman had whatever it is. So he get a hold of prophet him to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. He don't like that because he's got pride, he's arrogant, that's another thing. If he's a leper, true leper, he ain't going to have all that pride because lepers have to stand outside of the city. They were treated pretty bad because, again, somebody in their family was sin and cursed with this thing called leprosy. It was a result of a sin, so they had to, you know, bear the consequences of that. They couldn't mingle with everybody else. Anyway, he was white. And remember, he's with the Syrian army. So these people weren't Israelites, so that's probably why they didn't have
Naaman outside of the camp. He's all up in the army and stuff because they're not Israelites. This is how Israel did their people that had white skin. There was lots of people having albinos and vitiligo all over the world when this scripture was wrote, and this is not how they did their people. This is how Israel treated people with these white spots and with this skin spreading white. Okay, now watch this. You're about to see somebody that's actually going to be cursed with whiteness forever. Watch this. Verse 6, use the word recover. I'll read it. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy. Okay, this is talking about Naaman being recovered, recover him of his leprosy. This is the word recover, recover. Don't take that word lightly. Naaman shall be recovered of his leprosy. We're hitting certain scriptures for time's sake. Read the whole story, 2 Kings 5, when you get a chance. Then look at verse 10. Okay? And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan, talk unto Naaman 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again. And thy flesh shall come again. And thy flesh shall come again. What? Thy white flesh. If he was brown, if he was a brown person, he had a white spot. Because everybody wanted white. Some people was brown. Some people had leprosy. It was brown skin. And they just had a white spot on them. If he had a white area, they was lepers. That means somebody in their family was cursed with leprosy with sin. That was sin somewhere in their camp, in that generation. Okay? Watch this. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. All right? So I just want to highlight, the highlight of that scripture, the reason reading that is the flesh shall come again, come again. All right, now let's look at verse number 14. Then we're going to talk about this main scripture. Verse 14 says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came again like on the flesh of little children, and he was clean. If you ever notice, all children have one-tone flesh. No children have that reddish whiteness. That's all that means. The man had one-tone flesh. Now, why did it say little white children, little black children? No matter. All children have one-tone flesh. That means no reddish white patches. All it means, folks, don't make it complicated. So anyway, Naaman was healed of whatever this thing is he had. Watch this. Stay with me. I'm about to drop the biggest bomb I haven't dropped all day long. So Naaman is healed from whatever this is. And he goes to try to get a reward. I mean, go try to pay off somebody for them turning either his white skin that had a reddish white patches all white, or he was a brown skinned man, had a white spot, and now that white spot is had reddish whiteness in it, and there was a white hair. So now that spot has gotten somewhat dark. Remember, verse 6 says somewhat dark, that white hair has to disappear. And he has been cleansed, could be cleansed several ways. He was a dark-skinned man, he could have been light-skinned, we don't know. But we know that that patch turned somewhat dark. It was a white hair, it couldn't be white. So that's all what Christ was walking around doing. One turning white folks black. Watch this. So he went to try to pay the prophet for this. The prophet said, no, this ain't the Most High. But the prophet had a servant named Gehazi. Gehazi goes and tries to get rewards. He does get rewards and become wealthy from Naaman getting cleansed. Notice I didn't say healed. Cleansed. So the prophet knows in the spirit what Gehazi did, confronted Gehazi when he came back and said these words to him. He said, verse 26, reading in 2 Kings 5, 26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man, talking about Naaman, turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants? Watch this. Here comes the bomb.
the leprosy thereof, whatever it was, watch this, the leprosy thereof, Naaman, shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed or children forever. Read that again. The leprosy thereof of Naaman, in other words, whatever he has, shall cleave unto thee and unto thy children forever. Is 2011 the end of forever? No. So that means it's going to include today. The leprosy thereof of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out of his presence a leper as white as snow. Somebody say, well, somebody said last week in the chat room, I've never seen a person as white as snow. Well, then that obviously that couldn't be what he means, white as snow, because there's going to be millions. If somebody was cursed to have anything back in that day, anybody that had children back in that day would have millions of children today. And with millions of children being white as snow, we would have seen them by now. Anybody lived back in them days having children, their children having children, their children having children, their children having children, their children having children, no children having children, and then their children having children, and then their children, and their children, and their children. It will be millions today. Remember, lots of people was cursed with whiteness. That's where the name of it is from. Folks, white skin is nothing more than leprosy. We're talking about albinoism. White people today, as we know, everyday white person with blonde or red hair and all that, they've been mixed with melanin so much till they would be clean today because they mix too much. They're too dark. We're mainly talking about albinoism and vitiligo. We're talking about how that white skin, though did come about. Take the albino, that's absent pigmentation. He can take a person with black hair, black eyes, black skin, and mixing with that person can pull out all colors from that black skin, black hair, and black eyes. Folks, that's my presentation. Again, this is to destroy white supremacy. This is to destroy white supremacy. This is to destroy white supremacy. It's a myth that everything comes from white. It is the extreme opposite. Everything comes from dark skin, brown color, dust color people. This is not something for black people to go, you know, because white people are black. You got to remember, all of us are white. When a person has vitiligo, we're about to lose people on the internet, so I'm going to keep talking about for about another 10 minutes. For those of you that I lose, just tune into us on tomorrow, 3 days, where we talk about who is the true Israelite. And follow this show. If you like what I'm saying, follow this show. Follow, click follow, and follow this show. It's very important. That's your way of telling me I agree, I enjoy your show. And also, you can stay connected with us next week. But anyway, if the Most High really made us red and yellow, black and white, as a song said, we are precious in his sight, and we are. If he made us, and again, goodbye to those that's going to be on the internet. I'm going to leave you here in about 10 seconds, so thank you for listening. But we'll finish in another 10 minutes for those of you that are still listening. Anyway, if the Most High made us red and yellow, black and white, why is it that when we mix, we destroy or annihilate white skin? Or somebody could say it like this, like I said in the description. If we forget about color, forget about race, love everybody based upon characters, Martin Luther King Jr. said, and how the Most High want us to be, are y'all aware we will annihilate white skin? Think about that for a second. If we forgot about color, racism, and just started treating people based upon character and not what color they are, many white women will find black men attractive. Many white males will find black women attractive. probably in a good 200 years, it's very realistic that we could annihilate, not that we want to do it, I'm just saying it will happen. We would annihilate white people. There can be no white people with much mixing. Think about that. So if love and being colorblind caused the erasing of a people, what held them together in the first place? This is where you need lies, wickedness. You have to tell each other lies about each other to cause us to be scared of each other, and then that way we're only mixed with so-called our kind, which is not even a real thing. As long as you lie about the black man, say he's over sex, he didn't got a tail, they said we had a tail. Can you believe that? It's true, though. They said our black came off. They had a whole bunch of lies to tell about black men. Scare their women away. And the same thing about black women to scare white men away. As long as these lies and deceptions was out there and we're superior to those people over there, then we would not mix, and white people continue to thrive as a people more and more. Remember, this is us with our pigmentation. We're all the same people. So, again, if being colorblind, loving everybody, forgetting color, eventually some white people may say, well, even if we love each other, I may desire a white person over a black person. Yeah, but your kids might not. Sooner or later, if one of your kids is going to want to marry a black person, sooner or later, everybody's mixed, so sooner or later they're going to marry somebody that's not genuine, supposedly close to white, close to albino, really. And they're going to eventually marry somebody of color, and they're going to lose the pigmentation or race, so to speak. So if love erases you, what preserves you? Deception, corruption, sin. I hate to say it, but it's true. There will be no white race without sin. You have got to keep lying about this, that, and the other. I know it's hard, but it's true, folks. Let me say it to you another way. Let's put all white people on the island. Come back 500 years later. Would there be any black people? No. Let's put black people on the island. Come back in 500 years. We're going to do both of these in 500 years, period. Would that be why we would come back? Of course. Blonde hair, blue eyes. If those albinos find other albinos that we have on that planet, on that island, attractive, and they mix, then you even have a white family. Y'all don't think that's something? That is amazing. So, yes, I love February, Black History Time, when we talk about all the accomplishments of black people, but I like telepathy revelation because if this is true, and we know it is, we know it is. If this is true, everything comes from people of color. We don't have to wait on racist scientists to tell us, give us a thumbs up. Yes, everything comes from Africa. No. We can see about doggone orange in a garage, like I told y'all earlier, when that orange, my orange is inside this little lunch bag I had, I let it literally sit there and decay. Those oranges turn dark brown, the same color as the soil when you go down about a foot. That was your original name. I don't care how great white people accomplishments are. If black people are not producing, it's because of mental, it's all in their mind. They've been lied to. They're full of white supremacy, and this poison is causing our people, or the planet's people, to not produce. Or God's people, how about that, to not produce. So, anyway, it's been nice talking with y'all. Again, no racism here. It was just all about unity. I'm going to go out with a song, think about it, think about the words, please. Most important thing is what I'm about to play.
working with all